This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, we'll speak with the Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta about the confirmation hearings in Washington, D.C. this week for Betsy DeVos, the nominee to be Secretary of Education, as well as the State of the State address tomorrow. But first, the Lyceum Lecture Series at Western Michigan University this semester is called Fulfilling America's Promise, Racial Equity and Justice. It's also part of the events to honor the life of civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. The first lecture, Wednesday at noon in the Lee Honors College Lounge, is called Taking Inspiration from Women of the Civil Rights Movement. Mia Henry will deliver that lecture. She is the executive director of the Arcus Center for Social Justice Leadership at Kalamazoo College. Mia Henry, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So as we reach this point in history where a lot of the people who participated in the civil rights movement, unfortunately, have either passed away or are getting older, what don't we know and what maybe is incomplete about the role that women played?
Well, I believe because of the way that history is written, and in particular because of the role that the church had in the civil rights movement, we see often that male leaders, particularly male preachers, are the ones that we know and remember the most, and maybe Rosa Parks, right? And unfortunately, even Rosa Parks gets frozen in time. She was very active in the NAACP in Montgomery. 8 years she had joined before refusing to give up her seat for a second time on the bus in Montgomery. She had been active as a secretary of the NAACP, fighting against men being wrongfully accused of raping white women, black men, and also working for education rights. And she also was the head of the youth league at the NAACP, so very active. And then after refusing to give up her seat, being arrested, she becomes more of a figurehead. And this is what happens to a lot of women who take a stand. They become more of symbols, and known for how they look and how they behaved in that one moment versus what they can contribute over time. Whereas you have Rosa Parks then becoming economically destitute. Less than a year after the boycott begins, she loses her job as an assistant tailor in the department store downtown. Her husband loses his job as a barber on the military base. So they're literally run out of town simply because they can't make a living in Montgomery anymore. They end up moving to Detroit, and she works for Representative John Conyers. That is her next full-time job until she retires a few years before her death. So Rosa Parks, as a working for John Conyers, worked stood up against apartheid, worked for African American history in schools in Detroit, had stood for a lot of issues, and we freeze women in time, particularly if they're not part of the clergy, part of the kind of moral leadership of the civil rights movement.
In the case of Rosa Parks, sometimes she almost comes across as this accidental figure, yeah, who just sort of this one day on the bus said, "Well, I'm tired of having to give up my seat," when in reality, as you point out, she had a long history before that of involvement in the civil rights movement.
Yeah, she had even she'd gone to Highlander Folk School and been trained just a couple of months before, and it worked with King at Highlander Folk School, as well as Miles Horton and Septima Clark, other radical leaders. So she was just like any other active person in the community, that when her moment came to refuse to be dehumanized, to refuse to assert her rights in public, she took that moment. It was a pretty, if you read this, I recommend an incredible book called The Rebellious Life of Mrs. Rosa Parks by Jean Theo Harris, which really chronicles Rosa Parks' life before, during, and after the boycott, and how the breadth of her activist career, what it spans, and how that one moment, even though we define that moment and then we mischaracterize it as one of a quiet woman making a stand that is not thoughtful.
Sort of seems like it's spur of the moment in,
yeah,
in a way it's kind of.
Yeah. And although it wasn't planned, it was not unlike someone like Rosa Parks to make that type of stand. So
when you say that you want to take inspiration, is part of that inspiration from the idea that people did work hard and at the same time maybe didn't get the credit that others got in that movement? Or are you also maybe at the same time trying to set the record a little more straight than we've had it in the past?
I want to make sure that we understand that women in the civil rights movement, just like women in any other capacity, are more than just one moment in time and more than just one act. And I want to make sure that that we understand women as contributing things that are not necessarily seen as traditional leadership, but are absolutely crucial for change to occur. And so we have, and I don't want to give away everything on Wednesday, because the lecture is really going to be more of a workshop, and I want a lot of interaction from the people who attend. And part of it is kind of collectively understanding who we know and who we don't know in the room. But we have women who started their own political party in Mississippi, the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. Co-founders of that party went and crashed the Democratic National Convention in 1964 and demanded that their delegation be seated instead of the all-white, all-male delegation that Mississippi sent to that convention. They were told they would get two seats after much testimony, one woman who was cut off by President Johnson at the time interrupted in her testimony because it was so moving, and he knew that they would change the thinking of America with their testimony. This woman goes on to then be part of the first congressional challenge from Mississippi, from Black women ever, saying even after the Democratic National Convention is over that the people elected from Mississippi did not represent the state of Mississippi.
I'm wondering if there are perhaps some different roles then that men and women are playing in the civil rights movement, or were playing in the civil rights movement, and if that has maybe been lost a little bit to time and history.
Well, I think yes and no. You do have, yes and no. We understand King as being an incredible orator. Right. He was also a great writer, a great listener, and a great organizer. We have women who are great writers, great listeners, and great organizers, and who also gave speeches, but those speeches are canonized, right? And so I think that there are certain types of leadership skills that we tend to value more than others, and that is public speaking, leading direct action, the face of civil disobedience, if you will, and not more of the community building, the actual paper pushing that is necessary to
knocking
keep
on doors,
knocking
making
on
phone
doors,
calls,
canvassing, making phone calls for sure, but also to start your own political party is not child's work, right? And there's certainly men who've done it. So I think it's both. It's maybe the types of things that women were relegated to, but a lot of women did not just do what they were relegated to. They did more than that, and it is just the attention and the credit is not offered offered to women. Seems to be not enough space in the spotlight for women.
And as you also noted, there is this connection to the church, so therefore you do have...
Which is a very patriarchal place,
yeah, right?
The Black church, yes.
And most men, especially at that time, were, or most of the pastors were men. And it also does lend that to the idea of public speaking, which, again, the person who is up there making the speech tends to get more attention than the person who might have laid the groundwork to help them get there.
Absolutely. And the person who gets more practice at making speeches and really moving a crowd are going to be those men who have those opportunities to lead churches. And churches are so much more than places of worship for the Black community at the time of the Civil Rights Movement. I mean, they are community centers, right? They're where people eat together. They're where people develop deep and long-lasting relationships. So the men who are pastors at these churches are not just preachers on Sunday, but they're really pastors for communities overall. And so they come with that respect that then they transfer to direct action and movement building. And women don't have that kind of social capital at the time that they're able to transfer to what people see as leadership at that time.
Can we draw some links between the civil rights movement, which we tend to associate with the 1960s, and the fight for racial equality, and then the women's movement, which certainly there's some overlap in time, but we tend to think of that more as the 1970s and was more about gender equality. Are there links? Are there comparisons? Are there some things which maybe make those two movements different?
Well, there's certainly lessons that the women's movement is taking from the civil rights movement, and there are certainly women from the civil rights movement who are going on to join and lead campaigns in women's rights later on in the 70s. And there's also friction between white women leaders and women of color during that time. We see that in the academy. We see that in popular culture because the women's movement in the 70s is also driven by magazines like Ms. Magazine and by shows like the Mary Tyler Moore Show and things that are happening in popular culture that are really making the face of the women's movement a white woman's face. And so you see these real valid tensions coming up between women of color and white women, and they're not being, again, a place in the spotlight or in the canon and then now in our historical record of women of color, their role and their fights for equality on both for both gender and race, right? So racism shows up in the women's movement, but there's also definitely a lot of parallels and a lot of lessons that the women's movement is learning from the civil rights movement. A great book that leads into this is was actually about SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, that had probably more women are given their due in SNCC than other organizations. It's a secular organization and not a Christian one like the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. And so a great book, SNCC, Many Minds, One Heart, the story of SNCC by Wesley Hogan is a great book to look at both the struggles of SNCC, but also how a lot of women in SNCC went on to be part of the women's movement in the 70s.
So as I noted in the introduction, you are the executive director of the Arcus Center for Social Justice Leadership at Kalamazoo College. You and I are here speaking on the Martin Luther King holiday. On Friday, a new president will take office, and there has been a lot of concern raised about things that he has said in terms of race, in terms of gender, etc. As someone in the social justice realm, how do you view the new presidency of Donald Trump?
Well, needless to say, it's frightening, and it's no longer a prospect. It's a frightening reality, and we now see, with Trump just not only being unable to take criticism and heed that and listen to that and integrate that, but also attacking anyone who criticizes him, including John Lewis, a great civil rights leader who it's well documented all of the things that he has sacrificed for this country, completely dismissing all of the love and beauty that exists in his district in Georgia, simply because John Lewis had a criticism towards him is really, it's really frightening. And I feel like today we're talking about Martin Luther King. In thinking about Martin Luther King, we have to understand that what Trump has shown us so far is that he represents and advocates everything that King fought against. And we need to make sure that today, as we reflect on what King did, he did more than just give speeches. And that's in order to honor him, we don't have to give a speech, but we can write. I'm sitting here with a Radical King book full of essays and speeches that King had wrote over his short 13-year career as an activist or legacy as an activist. He listened to people. He mobilized with people. He reflected daily. He prayed. Some of us meditate. But he did a lot more than give speeches. And we should study the whole of how King led with love in order to know what we see in the upcoming presidency that goes against all of that. So I feel like that's my advice to myself and to everyone else is to look at the whole of what the women in the civil rights movement did and what King did. They're full human beings with many, many skills that they deployed for justice. And we need to hone our skills, study, and practice, and be ready.
Mia Henry, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Mia Henry is the executive director of the Arcus Center for Social Justice Leadership at Kalamazoo College. She will deliver the first lecture in the Lyceum series at Western Michigan University this semester. It begins Wednesday at noon in the Lee Honors College Lounge. Henry's lecture is called Taking Inspiration from Women of the Civil Rights Movement. It's also part of the events at Western Michigan University to honor the legacy of civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr.